Like Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Bonnie North. It ranks up there with one of the most stressful things you ever have to do. Yes, we're talking about buying a car. Whether it's new or used, a car is one of the most expensive items you'll ever buy.
Even though the internet has helped consumers arrive at a dealership armed with more information, that hasn't always helped change the overall dealership experience for them. And depending on that experience, it's very easy to feel you've gotten a bad deal.
Auto contributor Mark Savage feels your pain. So this month, he chats with fellow contributor Dan Harmon about ways to navigate a dealership so that you come out with not only a good car at a fair price, but with good feelings about the overall experience itself.
I think dealerships obviously run the gamut. You know, we can't stereotype too much, but I think the stereotype of the, you know, the guy in the Hawaiian shirt or the plaid suit selling you the car and, what can I do to get you in the car today? I'm sure they're still out there because otherwise that stereotype probably would have died all together. But a couple of trends is that retailing is changing so much. Because we do know what's on the internet and we can look up pricing and so forth, and that's for every product, not just for cars, I think there's a couple things. Is that the dealerships are getting bigger because there's more combinations, more people selling multiple brands. It's like big box stores. You know, eventually there's only the Walmarts and the Myers and so forth out there and Targets. And it's going to be the same way with dealerships. You know, eventually there'll be one or two big dealerships in an area, I think, and they'll control the market and they'll have all the different brands. But right now, consumers have a chance to go online. I always tell people to go to KBB, which is KellyBlueBook.com, KBB.com. You can look up the invoice price of the car, and you know that that is not always 100% accurate, and you know that dealers sometimes have rebates they can offer, or they have special financing deals that they have received from the manufacturers. So there's always some wiggle room, but at least you have a starting price and you know what to go in with and work from there instead of going in and saying, oh, gee, that car is, $39,995. Well, really, it cost them $36,000. Okay, now I know that. I know they've got to make a little money. You got to allow them to make something on the car. I mean, that really is only the fair thing to do. But people are also generally, I'll say lazy, because they may look it up, but they go in and they get influenced by, hey, they got one and I love that color, or someone likes this feature on the car. You know, one of the if it's a husband and wife, somebody likes a certain feature and they get sold on that. And salesmen are salesmen. They are professionals at this. They know what to play up and how to maneuver and trying to get people to take what they would like them to take, which is usually the higher priced car, at least the extra features that are available on the car. So, it's a naturally a adversarial position. The person that's there is trying to sell you the car at the highest price possible and with the most features on it, and you're going in hopefully with the mindset of I want to pay as little as possible. And arm yourself with information before you go in. So that, I know the dealers, and there's probably dealers out there that will listen to this and cringe to say, we haven't changed at all. Because I'm sure most of them have changed somewhat because the manufacturers work with them some to demand that they upgrade their facilities and their people. And I think, as you said, there are certain dealerships that really are strong at the customer service and at servicing your car afterward. And I'd say those are the dealerships I would want to go to because I know that they are interested in me as a long-term customer, not just as a quick sale.
Those are the ones that we need to find use, right? Because they are interested in, they know that if you're treated well, you're going to be a repeat customer down the road when it's time to get a new car. And that's great. That's the way it should be.
Right. And I would say when we bought our car about 2 years ago now, that was one of the selling points, too, was the dealership we went to here locally was very good at that. One, the salesman wasn't high pressure. He worked with us. We knew what we wanted when we walked in, and he told us what was available, and we worked at it. But we also knew they had good customer service and that they had a nice service department. And, that counts for a lot. And if you're treated professionally there, and my wife would be driving this car mostly, so she wants to be treated with respect when she gets there, and you don't want to be, oh, it's just a woman, and we're going to sell her everything as we walk in the door, and we're going to take advantage. If you get that feeling, I think most, especially female customers are going to say, I'm not going back to that place at all.
And I guess I'm arguing today that those places do still exist, and they're not the exception. I think that they're one of the other half. This is just my opinion based on my experience recently, but.
Well, right, and like I say, I'm sure there are bad dealers out there, or what we would call maybe annoying dealers, that you just don't want to have to deal with. A good reason to shop around too.
Absolutely.
Go to several dealers with the same make and find out who's treating you with respect.
All right. So two other things, and of course there are forums out there online, and no shortage of things that dealers try to separate you from your money, but. One of the other ones, and there's one more after this I want to just get your opinion on, is the trade. Because some they're just so obsessed with your trade-in, I'm not sure why. Where I live, apparently there is a shortage of good quality used cars, so low mileage, well-cared-for cars. So as soon as they know that you're trading something in, it becomes this whole other negotiation, not just the new car, but the trade. And I found that the dealer that I was working with, who I would describe as not very reputable, they said, yes, we'll give you this amount. And, I have it in writing that this is the amount they were going to give me. And then when it came time to actually sign the paperwork, they quote unquote forgot to put it on the closed sheet. And I reminded them that it's not there. And they went back and they brought back the new closed sheet, and the trade-in price was a little less than half of what we agreed on. So without even telling me, without even any discussion, they slipped it on there as less than half of what we agreed on. And I pointed out that, of course, that's not what we agreed on. Here is the initial offer that had the amount that the salesperson agreed on. And then they proceeded down the road of, well, we can't sell it at that price and blah, 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 blah. There are all these kinds of reasons that the original one was not a good trade-in. So essentially what they're doing is this customer would close under any circumstance. I wouldn't care that I'm not going to get as much for the trade, right? So they're playing that game. It's a game.
It's a bait and switch game, yeah.
It's a bait and switch, and then B, it is they're playing with emotions. And they're kind of trying to wear someone down because they just want the car, so they're not going to put up too much of a fight about it.
Well, right. That's another key negotiating tactic, is to act like you're not that sure about the car. Maybe you're going to go elsewhere to look for something anyway.
Well, I did. I just walked out. It was offensive. So, but the overall point here is that this kind of thing is still going on every day. So this has nothing really to do with the internet. This is very old school tactic.
I would agree. That's an old school tactic, and like I say, I would not want to go back to that dealership or. And certainly wouldn't be telling any of my friends to go there either. I think, a bait and switch tactic is out there and always will be. Anytime there's a negotiation in a process, the key thing for me if I'm trading in a car is to know, one, what I'm willing to pay for the new car, negotiate that first, and then if they've asked you about a trade-in, say, I'm not sure yet, leave that out on the table. And then when you know what you're going to pay for the new car, say, okay, if you want to take a look at my car, take a look at it and then tell me what you think it's worth. Then, like say, if they come back with a price, make sure they write it down, and then I would want that on the sheet immediately and say, okay, well, if I'm paying $25,000 for the car, my used car is worth $5,000, okay, now I'm down to $20,000, right? And then obviously they always have to add tax later, but I would say ask them to figure out the taxes and any other fees that are going to be on there, because you want to know the total price of the car before you're negotiating any further.
Okay, so then just another big one, which is this is all going on simultaneously. This dealership has a kind of intake form, and I've seen it at other places as well. I'm not just picking on this one dealership, although I do think they're pretty scummy. So they have a form that it asks you for your social security number, which this is before any kind of negotiation goes on. It's just on the form, and I said, I'm not giving you that information. That's completely irrelevant. You actually should never even give that number at all, even if you're buying, if you go all the way and buy the car. So I called my bank just as part of the whole process, and I asked the representative, is there any particular reason why they would be asking for that to me, the only reason you give that number is if you're applying for credit, which I wasn't. So the representative said, well, that's part of something that is not such a good tactic, or there's legislation to try to make it illegal to do what they were doing. And of course, we don't know for a fact that they were, but essentially dealers that do that are applying for credit for you without you knowing it and without your permission. So, and then you actually do somehow get a loan and they somehow make money on that. And even if you don't even if you go finance through somewhere else, there's still a loan in your name out there.
I've not heard that. You know.
It's very, very, in my opinion, sketchy, and it's certainly not honest for sure. So that's something else that's going on out there. It's just another way for them to make money on you, and it can end up trashing your credit. Or another theory was that since there's this loan on the car that you don't know about, like if you were to get in an accident and the car is totaled or it's stolen, you still owe money on that loan, is another scenario. So it's just something it's still out. This is kind of my overall point, which is we shouldn't be lulled into thinking that everything is so much better these days just because we think that we are so much better informed, because clearly a lot of people are not, because this kind of thing is still going on.
Well, right. And I think, what you're saying is it's the typical buyer beware, and think about this before you do it. Do your research so at least you do know as much as you possibly can know before you walk in there. No matter, any other big purchase the same way, a house or, some other big boat or something. Know as much as you can before you go in there so that they can't take advantage of you. And like I say, some dealers will and some dealers won't. And obviously, we hope that most are not going to lean that way. And another tactic I've heard of is people saying, well, how much do you want to spend per month? And trying to lock you in like, okay, I want to spend $300 a month on a car payment. Well, now I can put you in this. Well, yes, but is it $300 a month for, 36 months, 48 months, 60 months, how many months? Don't even think of negotiating that way. Go in knowing what you want and what price range you want. And, we'll all have a couple $1,000 range probably that you can, what's your upper end and what's your lower end. But know that before you go in, and that way you're not negotiating on their terms. And if they're pushing you that way, again, my advice is like you did. You pack up and say, adios, I'm out of here. I don't need to deal with this sort of thing. It's very rare, maybe in some small towns, that you can't find another dealership that will carry the same line of cars. But, go where you're wanted and go where you're treated right. And, you were talking about credit ratings. Make sure you know your credit rating when you go in if you're going to be applying for credit. My other advice, and my experience has been over the years, is credit unions are great at car loans, and they usually have a little lower rate than other people, and many times you can pay them off a little more quickly. So I would always start and have my loan already set up. Say, I've got $10,000 down payment, or my trade-in is what I think it's worth, and I need $15,000 more. Make sure you've already got that loan in your pocket. When you walk in, then you can just say, hey, I don't need credit. I've already got this. I'm all done. And then, as I mentioned earlier, know your total costs before you do anything else. Don't negotiate after, as I said, here's the final cost, here's the tax on it, here's the closing fee or whatever. Licensing, they can't change. That's set by the state. They gotta charge you for the license. But, again, it's know what you're doing. Know what you're doing when you walk in. Make sure that you are prepared, and when you start feeling creepy and things aren't going right, that's when you walk out the door. Don't hand them your driver's license, and if you simply must at a dealership to go take a test drive, get it when you come back in and say, that's fine, I'm looking at several dealerships and I'm going to try several cars. You've got to stay in control. It's like any other situation where you're going to negotiate. You want to have as much control as possible. And like I say, I don't know. I would not be going back to a place that made me feel creepy at all, or made my wife feel creepy. And I think another good idea is talk to all your friends. Where have they gotten their cars? If they've had a bad experience, well, you probably will too.
And I agree with everything you just said. I would only add one more caveat to all this, which is when you're doing your research online about prices and cars and MSRP and dealer cost, I think it would also be a very good idea to refresh yourself on negotiating tactics, dealer tactics, those kinds of things that kind of creep up on you, especially if you're going to close on a car, for example, all the fees and other negotiating tactics. So I think that would make you a much more informed consumer, because it isn't just about price. It's about how the interaction with your salesperson and after the salesperson, you're going to be talking with a finance person and perhaps a general manager as well. So there's a whole second half of the negotiation that comes after the price is negotiated.
Well, right, and I think many larger cities have dealer associations too, like we have Adam here in our area. And if you want to know what is legit and what you should be able to see on an offer sheet, give them a call. They've got it. They'll tell you, and it'll be pretty obvious to you if somebody's adding on something that doesn't belong there.
And you can tell I'm perhaps on a little bit of a mission with this interview, but I would, and to be fair, I had a very good experience with a dealer that I actually did buy a car from, a different one, who were much more reputable and approachable and professional. But I would say, if you're going to go through the trouble of writing a negative Yelp review, which I think everyone should if they have a bad experience, maybe take it one step further and write a letter to the State Licensing Bureau, the part of the state that actually licenses dealerships, because I know that they are definitely interested in hearing when things go creepy. Yeah, because some cases they are actually breaking the law.
Well, absolutely. And, the good dealers in your area, like the guy you bought from or the person you bought from, they want you to do that too because they don't like having those competitors out there. Trust me, no one probably is more disgusted by them than the people who are doing business above board and trying to do things the right way.
Right, except that they often can drive business our way if we're a good dealer, yeah.
Right, that's true.
Well, I guess having said all that, I hope everyone has fun shopping for cars despite all that.
I'm sure most people enjoy that experience. They want to get that new car, and they don't care what color it is or what dealer they get it from. They just want it right now. Sorry, right. Tesla.
All right. Well, thanks again, Mark.
All right. Thanks.
Mark Savage writes the auto review column Savage on Wheels for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and SavageOnWheels.com. He's also the editor of Scale Auto Magazine, part of ComBlock Publishing in Waukesha. He joins contributor Dan Harmon regularly to talk about cars.